Here is a confession. I'm just a little obsessed with weather reports. I mean, some people wake up and look out the window and that's their weather report. Not me. I read about it. I watch TV. I listen to the radio. I compare forecasts every day, maybe just if only to see who's getting it right and who's getting it wrong. And I'm impressed with advancements that I see in weather forecasting. I mean, quite often, they can accurately predict the weather 3 days in advance. Not all the time, obviously, and depending on where you are in the country, it's a little bit more or less, but that's pretty impressive, 3 days in advance. Now, 5-day forecast in advance, I have read that the accuracy level is 90%. I don't believe that, but that's what I read. 90%. That's pretty impressive. The 7-day forecast, the accuracy goes down to about 80%. Still very impressive. For 10 days in advance, well, it goes down to 50%. I can understand that, 50%. What if your favorite weatherman were to come on TV today and he were to say to you that he could accurately predict what was going to happen 7 months from now? You'd probably say he's on something. Or maybe he'd say, I can accurately predict what's going to happen 7 years from now. You might say he's a total idiot. Well, along came a guy in Jerusalem who said that he could accurately predict what was going to happen 700 years in advance. And I imagine the people thought Isaiah was an idiot too. What in the world? And to make it even worse, he didn't just predict it, he proclaimed it. And part of what he proclaimed was that a virgin was going to give birth to a baby? Hello. What an idiot. He further said that the baby was going to be a boy. And he said that boy was going to have multiple names. And among the names that he gave us were Wonderful Counselor. You remember that from last week? Wonderful Counselor. Another one, Mighty God. Another one, Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Very strange, but it happened just exactly as he said it would. And that was not because Isaiah was an astrologer or a fortune teller. It was because God's Holy Spirit spoke to him and spoke through him to us. By the way, I hope you already know this, and I don't need to say it, but astrologers and fortune tellers are inaccurate more than 70% of the time. They are not seeking knowledge from God. They're seeking knowledge from Satan himself. And God condemned it in the book of Deuteronomy. So do not, I repeat, do not have anything to do with any of that. It is not a game. It is not entertainment. It is dangerously satanic. Are you listening? If you are, or if you ever have been involved with astrology or Ouija boards or fortune tellers or anything remotely connected to that, repent of it right now and ask God's forgiveness. And if anybody here thinks that I'm overstating the case, let's talk. Okay, I'll get down off my soapbox. Now let's get back to Isaiah. Isaiah was a biblical prophet. Men through whom God spoke. Men whom God inspired not only to speak, but to write. And they told us about future events that were accurate 100% of the time. How about that? And mankind has been celebrating that for at least 3,000 years. Now, last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent. And we started examining those four names, those four titles that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. And last week was Wonderful Counselor. And today we come to Mighty God. Two women went Christmas shopping. They stood in front of a department store window and they marveled at all the treasures that they saw and all the decorations. But then they saw something they did not expect. Right in the middle of all of it was a nativity scene. And there was a Joseph and a Mary and a baby Jesus and the animals and all of that. And one of the women turned to the other and she said, "Well, would you look at that? Even the church is trying to horn in on Christmas." The other woman said something totally ironic. She said, "Oh my God." That's an expression that I hear all the time. It's in our vocabulary. It's in our society. And yes, it's controversial. Partly because of the third commandment, where God said, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Yet that expression is in our movies, it's in our TV shows, it's on social media, it's in videos of various kinds on YouTube, especially when there are disasters or something happens that's shocking and people cry out, the first thing that comes to their mind, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" You hear it all the time. Maybe it's even crept into your vocabulary, I don't know. There are some who say, "Well, it's okay, because it's a lowercase g. We're not talking about our Creator, we're talking about that concept." But there are those who disagree with that argument completely. Regardless of where you are on what we're talking about, let's talk about God with a lowercase g. Because that is how the dictionary defines God. A lowercase g. And this is exactly what it says. Any. Notice that first word. Any. Of various beings conceived of as supernatural, immortal, and having special powers over people and nature. And that is the extent of the respect and the reverence that some people have for our Creator. Just one of many. Now let's talk about God with a capital G from the Hebrew. The word for God in the Hebrew is El, E-L. And the literal translation of that word is God with a capital G. The plural form of that word is Elohim, Elohim, which is another name for God, by the way. And that word, being in the plural, points us to the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what? We could have a field day right now just going through the Bible and talking about all the people's names or other names that use the word El, either at the beginning or the end of that name. For instance, Bethel, Israel, Samuel, Elijah, Elijah. Lots of them. But our focus is on Jesus. The name El also has several very strong meanings in the original Hebrew. Listen to these. The word might, strength, power, or extreme authority. Did you hear that? Underline that. Extreme authority. So when Isaiah said that this baby Jesus would be called El, he was saying all of that, all of those attributes of Jesus. But that's not what Isaiah said. Let's keep digging. The word El in Hebrew also is combined with other Hebrew words quite often to expand its meaning. For instance, a common one is El Shaddai. And El Shaddai means God Almighty. Another one is Eliona. And Eliona means the God who is above all things. But here is literally what Isaiah said about Jesus. The word he used is El Gibor. El Gibor. You've heard that, right? No. The word El Gibor means mighty. So El Gibor means God mighty or mighty God. But wait. If you were listening, are you listening? If you were listening, you heard me say that the word El means might. Partly, it means might. So El Gibor is practically a redundant term, meaning that Jesus is a mighty, mighty God. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. What a tribute. It's enough to make us want to fall on our faces before him in awe of who he is. But wait, there's more. The word El Gibor also has another meaning which I really love, and that meaning is the word hero. Hero. If someone were to ask you to describe the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about a hero, what would you say? A lot of people would think first of the first responders who come whenever there's a disaster or a big need. Or if you were blessed to have a wonderful earthly father, you might think of him as your hero. Well, here's what comes to my mind when I think about the word hero, and it's not so lofty. When I was a child, my hero was Superman. I loved Superman. I would get a bath towel and a safety pin and make a cape. And then I would literally run around the outside of my house. At the top of my voice, I would say, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky. You want to join me? It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. But neither as a child nor as an adult did I ever think of Jesus as being my hero. It just never occurred to me. But then I read something that struck me. James Bradley wrote a book called Flags of the Fathers, and it was eventually made into a movie. That book and that movie is about the six young men who raised the flag on the island of Iwo Jima in February of 1945. Can you see that picture in your mind? Do you know that that photograph is the most frequently reproduced photograph in history? 7,000 young American men died on the island of Iwo Jima, the worst battle in the history of the Marines. And of those six young men in that photograph, three of them died. And three of them survived. The author of the book, James Brady's father, John Brady, was one of the three who survived. When James was just a little boy, his third grade teacher said to him, "Your daddy is a hero. James went home and he told his father John what the teacher had to say. And John looked at him and said this, "I want you always to remember that the heroes of Iwo Jima are the guys who did not come back. Who did not come back." And that made me think of Jesus. Those men died so that we could live. Jesus died so that we could live. He's my hero. I cannot help but wonder how many people in Bethlehem that night looked at that little baby in a feeding trough in a barn surrounded by animals and the stench of animal dung and thought they were looking at a hero. For them, Moses was a hero. Moses was there for the parting of the Red Sea, and he led the slaves out of Egypt. Joshua was a hero. Joshua, you know, went around the walls. The walls came tumbling down. Joshua led them into the promised land. Hero. David was a hero. He slayed Goliath, the giant Goliath. David was a hero. But this baby, born in a stable, a hero? Yet, that is what God called Jesus through Isaiah when he inspired the word El Gibor. Mighty, heroic God. If Isaiah were standing here right here today, he might say to us, when you gaze in the manger, brothers and sisters, don't just sing Silent Night. Sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. He is our mighty, heroic God with a capital G. Say amen. Brothers and sisters, maybe we need to spend less time decorating our homes to look like a department store window and more time on our knees thinking of Jesus as our hero. He never wrote a paragraph that we know about. Yet more has been written about him than anyone in history. He never wrote a song that we know about. And yet he has put music into the hearts of multitudes, including yours. He served as a humble stonemason with his father in Nazareth. Yeah, now today he is the strong foundation stone of the biggest organization in history, the Church of Jesus Christ, of which you are a member. He could have been king of any country in the world once he resurrected from the dead, but instead he became the King of Kings. The King of countless souls, including yours. He is your humble hero, El Gibor. Let's close this. That expression that we talked about at the beginning is abbreviated OMG, which of course stands for Oh My God. I want to suggest that we change it to Our Mighty God. Our Mighty God. And one more time, that is enough for us to fall on our faces in awe. Hallelujah. Please bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is staggering to contemplate all that is wrapped up into that baby Jesus, that man Jesus, our God. It's wonderful, Lord, Such knowledge is too wonderful for us to understand. So, Lord, I pray as we once again this year celebrate His birth, His coming, His entering into our lives, may we indeed fall on our faces in awe of who He is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.